We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 20 of Proverbs chapter 3 today. But we're going to looking at some things that benefits of wisdom and talking about that and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ and wisdom cannot be separated. Christ is the embodiment of wisdom, and you cannot have true wisdom without having the Lord Jesus Christ. He exemplifies wisdom in every way, and there is, though, a condition or a need. Even though we may know Christ as our Savior, there is a submission or a yieldedness to Him and a desire for wisdom. Even though we may have Christ as our Savior, it is possible for us to have wisdom, more wisdom, in a day-to-day way and for a certain situation and need. And as you know, in guidance from the Lord, it's not just we trust the Lord as our Savior and then go on our merry way and enjoy the wisdom and blessings of God without paying any attention to the Lord or having fellowship with the Lord. The closer we are with the Lord and the more familiar we are with the Lord, the more we'll understand what true wisdom is and see how necessary and helpful it is in our daily life. And so let's start with a word of prayer this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read our text. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings and for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for this time today. Thank You for these folks that are faithful even in this cool weather, cold weather. Lord, we know that it's going to get cold in the wintertime. And Lord, we do thank You for Your safety. Thank You for the ability to be in Your house and the privilege of being in Your house with Your people. And Lord, we look at it as a blessing, a time of fellowship, a time of worship, a time of service. And Lord, I pray that You bless us today. Bless the pastor as he preaches and later on in the service to follow. And Lord, You know the needs and the burdens and cares today that we all have. Lord, we need Your help. We need Your guidance. We need Your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand as we study Your word together. Give us a teachable heart. Give us a sensitive spirit to Your word today and to Your truth. May that we be yielded to the Spirit of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 3, we were going to begin reading with verse 13 and read down through verse 20. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Now, as we said here just a moment ago about talking about the fact that Christ, true wisdom and Christ cannot be separated. Christ is the embodiment or the manifestation of what wisdom is. Here in this passage, we see that happiness or blessedness of the wisdom of God comes in regard to knowing Christ in a close way, in a place of fellowship, a place of discipleship. The disciples were followers of the Lord. The word discipleship or disciple means a follower of the Lord. That means we do what He does. We say what He would say or what He would want us to say. It's a yieldedness to Him. Now, you'll see these words, understanding. You'll see the words knowledge and understanding that is used interchangeably with the word wisdom here through the book of Proverbs. It's like knowledge and understanding are parts of wisdom. Wisdom is looking at the life or the situation or things as God would look at something. Wisdom is, some have said, divine common sense given by the Lord. And so we know that Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave it to him. But as we study the life of Solomon, we found there was a time that he did not have or exercise wisdom. He did not make the right choices, the right decisions. He did not ask the Lord what he thought or what the Lord wanted him to do in certain situations and circumstances. So even though he started out right, he got away from the source of wisdom, and that's the Lord. And so we have to keep in mind that the Lord is the source of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. In James chapter 1, it tells us that. So in looking at this, we want to understand here that he's not talking about something that is so outstanding or so far out there that we can't understand it or we cannot experience it or know whether we have it or not. Yes, we can know if we have the wisdom of God or the blessings of God, because they do work together, the blessings of God and the wisdom of God. I want you to turn to a passage before we get started over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We looked at this passage when lesson number 1, lesson number 2 along the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we want to read this and try to get some thoughts here, verses 18 through 31, talking about the fact that Christ is wisdom, and wisdom, true wisdom, God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that'll help us to understand this passage that we're looking at today. In verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God," notice this, "and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh." Notice he says after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Here it is, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." You see how many times the word wisdom is mentioned here in this passage, and it talks specifically about Christ being the wisdom of God. And so you might say, if I have Christ, do I have wisdom? Yes, you do. You have a discernment of the Spirit of God, and there's going to be a wisdom that we have as being children of God that we would not have otherwise. But then there is a reception, there is a desire for wisdom that we see here very clearly all through the book of Proverbs in this passage we're looking at today. Look at verse 13 back in our text, chapter 3. Notice it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." Findeth wisdom. And it says, "And the man that getteth understanding." So it's telling us that it's received or it's obtained by a desire. But the first thing is that, number one, we're saved. Secondly, that we're right with the Lord. We're in fellowship with the Lord. Then we come to the place where we can ask for wisdom from the Lord. We can ask for his help. We can ask for his guidance. And then there's times when we are faced with situations, it may be in just a moment, where we have to make a split-second decision, that we want to be in fellowship with the Lord. We want to have His wisdom, and we want to appreciate and to experience His protection in this. We desire for God to protect us in situations that may be even beyond our control. And we ask for God's help. And we ask for the Lord's blessing in this and every day. That's why it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Now, the value of it is expressed here in these next few verses of this should be our number one desire of pleasing Christ. But again, you cannot get away from the wisdom of God or obtaining this wisdom in pleasing the Lord. Look at verse 14. It says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. We have precious metals here in verse 14. And the value of them, you know, silver and gold in Bible days was very valuable. It still is. It still is. I don't know how much an ounce of gold is worth today, but it's a lot. It's valuable. You say, well, what does value mean? What does something mean that has value? You might say, well, I've got silver or you got gold and it's valuable because of what it can do, what it can accomplish. It can accomplish, and they say money is power and power is money, and a lot of there's a lot of truth in that as far as the world's concerned. That's true. But value, how much value do we place on things? You know, I've talked about and I mentioned some things before about things that have sentimental value. There's some things that you've had since you were a child or maybe someone gave to you. It may not be worth anything to anybody else, but to you it's extremely valuable because you've had it for so long and it represents something that happened. Them giving you or leaving, it's just a memory. It's attached to it, and it has what we call sentimental value. There's things that you may have that you wouldn't take any amount of money for because it's something that is precious to you. It's valuable to you. Now, this is relative, isn't it, to who we are and where we've been. I may have told you I have an ink pen that my wife gave me in 1983 for my birthday, and she had my name put on it. And I've lost it several times, usually find it down in the sofa or in the in a coat pocket where it's fell down in the bottom, you know. And, oh, there it is, been lost for a while. Well, I finally put it up, but what I did is I lost it in the parking lot of a bank down in Middletown, Ohio. And I was writing out my deposit ticket and must have laid it in my lap and got out and it fell out in the parking lot. And didn't know what happened to it. And a couple days later, a man called me on the telephone and said, I found your pen at the parking lot of the bank. I said, you did? And he said, yeah, I looked up your phone number in the phone book. Your name has your name on it. I said, well, that's great. He said, I'd like to get it back to you. I said, well, I appreciate that. He said, I'll drop it off to you. And I said, okay. And so a day or two later, I found it in my mailbox. I was expecting him to bring it, knock on it, so I get to meet him and thank him. But it was in my mailbox on the house, on the side of the house. Don't know to this day who did that and brought back the. And so it's been lost and found so much as far. It's got some sentimental value, not only because my wife gave it to me, but because of what it's experienced. And guess what? I don't carry it anymore. I put it up. Now, you know, it's not worth anything really much to anybody but me, but it's very valuable to me because it represents some things. And you have some stuff. So we're talking about silver and gold and the value of them, and it represents, you might have something that's gold that is sentimental as well, like a wedding band or something like that. It represents something. And so then we see in verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire not to be compared unto her. Now, when you see this, when it talks about she and her, these nouns, pronouns, when we're talking about the ones, when it's talking about wisdom, it's referring to wisdom, then you can, and I'm not doing any injustice to the scripture, but if you would think about Christ here, that it's talking about Him. If you wanted to, in your mind, say He is more precious than rubies, and all the things that I can desire are not to be compared unto Him. And we're talking about wisdom. You see, we do have the New Testament example of Christ now. We have the life that He lived. We have the epistles that tell us about Him and explain His ministry and what and all that He's accomplished for us. And now we can see that He is the embodiment of wisdom. And all that these things apply to Him. And if we apply wisdom and think of Him when we look at this passage, it'll help us to understand it a bit better, I believe. But notice, first of all, these two things here, silver, gold, and then we find precious, more precious than rubies or jewels. And then I want to read you some verses here in talking about the things of this world and the wealth. You know, what do you desire to obtain? In verse 15 it says, "And all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." What is it that you desire? It may not be silver and gold, may not be rubies, but it may be something else as far as this world is concerned. It could be a retirement home. It could be who knows what. That is to be set aside here. We're thinking, if we're thinking of that which is material and comparing it to that which is spiritual and eternal. See, some things are temporal and material, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong or sinful necessarily with those things, because it's not wrong to have things, it's wrong for things to have us. Keep that in mind. It's not wrong to have things, it's wrong for things to have us. Amen. It becomes idolatry. And you can, we'll have a lot more to share about that, Lord willing, through the book of Proverbs about the contrast here. But the spiritual is the eternal, isn't it?
Amen.
The spiritual is the eternal. And so we have that contrast here of the spiritual and the eternal of value. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Christ, is far more valuable than any silver, gold, or precious stones that we can obtain. But you could say, well, how much could I accomplish with all that? Just think of all the missionaries I could support, or the churches we could build, and all this thing. Well, the Lord knows all about that. And he knows what we would do with it if He gave it to us, doesn't He? He owns it all anyway, doesn't He?
Amen.
And He can put it where He chooses. And so, have you ever got with family and talked about I've heard people talk about what if they won the lottery?
Yeah.
Well, that's gambling, by the way, if you didn't know, hadn't noticed. That's gambling.
Yep.
And we got some to talk about that later on, too. It's another message. But if you talk about, if I won, what was it, $300 million? What would you do with $300 million? What would you do with it? Well, you'd do something with it, wouldn't you? For a while. And hopefully, let's say you didn't win the lottery. Let's say you inherited it. Somebody gave you, or just said they liked you a lot, and gave you $300 million. Boom. You didn't expect it, but there it is. What are you going to do with it? Well, I don't know what I'd do with it, but I know, first of all, I'd probably have a lot more friends than what I do right present. Because the more money you have, the more friends you have, right?
Right.
Until your money's gone, and then so's your friends. I'd have relatives that I hadn't heard from for years calling me, "Hey, how you doing? Just wanted to see how things are going."
Yeah.
What would we do? Would we invest it in the Lord's work?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know we can't take it with us, but we can send it on ahead?
Amen. Yeah. Right.
We cannot take it with us, but we can send it on ahead. We can lay up treasures in heaven.
Good.
So all this, how does, you see, the moment that we give something to the Lord, the moment that we do something in His name, it becomes eternal. Always remember that. The moment that it is given to the Lord or for the Lord or done in His name for His glory, it becomes eternal. And God keeps accurate records. He's not going to forget anything that we've done for Him. And He knows whether we did it for Him or not. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us about that. There is such a thing as laying up these treasures. And what are they? Well, there's gold, silver, and what? Precious stones here. Isn't that interesting? Gold, silver, precious stones, and then there's what? Wood, hay, stubble. Those are works done for myself, things that I did, but it was not for the Lord's glory. May have helped somebody, may have done something for the church, but it was for my recognition, for the pat on the back kind of thing, the glory of men. But if it's done for the glory of God with the right motive, right methods, then it becomes eternal and becomes eternal. But that which is wood, hay, and precious stones is not eternal, is it? Because it's going to be burned up. Now, let me read here a couple passages to you concerning this. Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 10, 11, and 19 I'd like to read to you. And if you can flip over there if you'd like. Proverbs chapter 8, it says, "Receive my instruction," again, "receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that thou may desired may be desired are not to be compared to it." Sounds like what we just got through reading. "My fruit is better than gold," verse 19 says. "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." There's an interesting passage over in the book of Ecclesiastes, and you don't have to turn there, I'll read it, but it's verses, it's chapter 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Very interesting. Solomon again. It says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." Amen. Verse 11 says, "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them." That's what I just said. You inherit money, guess what? Your friends show up and, you know, they eat up the profit. Well, "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof? Saving the beholding of them with their eyes." The only good it is, it says, is that you can behold it with your eyes. Right. It's a temporal thing. It's fleeting. It's passing. And all that good about it is that can be beheld by the eyes. Verse 12, an interesting verse. It says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." One of the things about becoming rich and about those that have riches, and of course, the Bible has a lot to say about that. Again, we're looking at this passage when we're talking about compared. We're comparing that which is eternal and spiritual to that which is material and temporal, right? Okay, we've got to keep those in mind here. Having an abundance of money or wealth, there's a lot of other things that's attached with that as well. That not only the friends that you don't know who your true friends are and who's just after your money, but what about thieves? Where says we can lay up treasures on the earth where thieves break through and steal, right? There's the keeping of that. Why is it that it says here in Ecclesiastes 5:12, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet"? Why? Because he's not worried that somebody's going to come in and steal from because you don't have anything. "Whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." When I was in college in Jacksonville, Florida, many years ago, we lived in a neighborhood that had, I don't know if it had 1,000 houses in it. I mean, I don't know how, it was just a huge neighborhood, huge subdivision. And I don't know if you've been in Florida much, but, you know, sometimes you can't, you know, a lot of the houses look alike, those with the flat roof kind of thing. And, but there was a lot of thievery, a lot of burglaries going on, and there was no safe place in Jacksonville from being burglarized. And there was a lot of houses that had bars on their windows and, you know, all the different security systems and all that. A lot of houses like that. And I did commercial glass work while I was in college, so a lot of times we were repairing glass that had been broken from a burglary and things like that. And so it was easily seen that that's the way that it was. And I didn't ever worry about anybody breaking into our house because we didn't have anything to steal. I mean, you could drive by and look at our car and say, they don't have nothing. Let's go down the road there. I can tell they look like they might have something down there. I wasn't worried a bit about it. Wasn't worried a bit about it. Of course, you have to trust the Lord anyway and all that. But I was hoping somebody'd steal my car.
Amen.
I'd leave the car, leave the keys in it, you know. Now, the insurance company, they frown on that now, leaving the keys in. You know, you used to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You used to leave the keys in the car and leave the door unlocked when you leave and all that. You know, can't do that anymore. Well, anyway, we see that he says, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. Losing sleep over how much he has because he's afraid he's going to lose it. Now we see this passage. And look at verse 16. Well, move back up and read verse 15. She is more precious than rubies, and all, he says, if it's not silver and gold, what is it then? All the things. Notice that. All the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Things. Again, it's not wrong to have things, but it's wrong for things to have us. But you know what? The most important things in life are not things. It's people. That which is eternal. What is it in this room that's eternal? You and me and this. That's it, isn't it? Is that it? God's Word's never going to pass away. Now this book here, this copy, will burn or be destroyed one day, but it's forever settled in heaven. And we talk about the cloud and the iCloud and things not being able to be taken. Yes, those things will be burned up and destroyed too, even though it may be safe. Talking about things you have on your computer, backing up your computer to the cloud and all that for safety. Well, the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. But that which is eternal is what we have in Colossians chapter 3. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection not on things on the earth. Our affection, not on things on the earth. That which is eternal. He says, keep these things in perspective. Keep this in understanding. You see, honestly and truly, if we're talking about wisdom in this life, this is 99.9999% of it. It's knowing the difference and keeping the temporal separated from the eternal. And having these in proper perspective. Because if by the grace of God we can do that, then what are we going to enjoy? Look at verse 15. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Huh. Riches and honor. Does it say, okay, now if I'm going to have the wisdom of God, am I going to have riches? Yes and no. You're going to have spiritual riches for sure. Eternal riches for sure. But you know what? I think he knows enough to take care of us and to bless us. You know, the Bible talks about, and there's a verse over in, I'll come back to it here in just a little bit. The Lord Jesus said that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The Lord knows what we need. But I understand, I know that sometimes he also gives us what we desire, what we want, if what we want lines up with what he wants for us.
Amen.
We need to just pray that the Lord changes our wanter to line up with his and desire what he desires. Now, it says in verse 16, length of days. We've talked about that just a little bit, the length of days. What does that mean? You know, the Bible talks a lot about days. It talks about give us this day our daily bread. Take up your cross daily. The Old Testament talks about many of the kings that died being old and full of days. Could have said years, but he said full of days. There's something significant about the day, the period of a day in our lives as Christians. Length of days. I think he's talking about not only many days, but the quality of our days. Have you ever had a day where you had a lot to do, and it just seemed like you couldn't get it done?
Really?
Or maybe, let's turn it around. Have you ever had a day where you really didn't have a lot to do, but you couldn't get that done either?
Yeah.
Or then have the, well, what about having a day where you had a lot to do, but then, you know, Lord, everything just fell right in place, and it seemed like time stood still and didn't pass as quickly as you thought that it was, and you had plenty of time to get done. That happens, you know. That happens. I like those kind of days. I want those kind of days. And if I am living in harmony with the Lord, I think I'll have more of those days than I will those that where there I run out of day before I run out of duty or chores to be done. Notice he says, length of days in her right hand and her left hand, riches and honor. Now this riches and honor, of course, means having our needs met. And this honor of being in fellowship with the Lord, being respected by God and man, doesn't mean that man is going to necessarily love us. Like the Lord Jesus said, marvel not that the world hate you. Remember that it hated me before it hated you. But we're talking about honor or respect or recognition. We should be, the world should know that we're Christians. Mm-hmm. And isn't that an honor?
Amen.
To be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's an honor.
Amen.
You know, the world may try to criticize us and scorn us and all that for being a Christian. But in reality, it's an honor for us to be recognized as true Christians. And true Christianity has never been a threat to this world or anybody else.
Right.
We don't hurt anybody. We try to help folks. We try to be a blessing, not a burden, is what true Christianity does. Now, in verse 17, it says, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths, all her paths are peace. Did you know that all the money in the world cannot buy that? You can be the richest man in the world and not have the ways of pleasantness and paths of peace. That's worth more than anything in the world. Now, those that have all the wealth and they don't have these things, they're not going to tell you. Oh yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's wonderful. I'm just enjoying. You know, we go by what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that if you know God, you know peace. But know God, no peace.
Right.
You see the difference there? If you don't know the Lord, you're not going to have peace. You might have peace that you think you might. You see, this world, the satisfaction of this world is like eating cotton candy for breakfast. Did you know what? If I'd have had cotton candy for breakfast this morning, I'd be hungry by now. Because it doesn't satisfy, does it? But it is sweet. You know, I remember the first time I ever ate it. Put it in my mouth and it was gone. It was just gone. My dad, it was so funny. I was at an amusement park, and it was an amusement park near the house in North Georgia near Chattanooga. And we went there all the time in the summertime when it was open. And he just wouldn't get me any cotton candy, and I wanted it so bad. I could smell it. It looked good. It smelled good. And I saw the kids eating, and I thought, this has got to be the greatest thing in the world. But Dad looked at it as a waste of money. You just have to know my dad. You just have to know my dad. He thought it was a waste of money. So finally, I mean, I was old enough to remember it before I ever got any cotton candy. And I ripped off a big old piece of that and stuck it in my mouth. And it was good, but then it was gone. I said, what's with this? There's nothing to chew on here. It just dissolved. It was just sweetness and it was gone. That's like the world. You know, there's pleasure in sin for a season. And then it's gone. Yeah. And then you're hungry. And only Christ can satisfy.
Amen.
He's the only one that can. He's the only one that can satisfy our soul. The hunger of our soul. Now it says in verse 17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. This tree of life, talking about an abundant life. I believe talking about, again, what Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, life in the in the book of Proverbs, is spoken of as not only being now, but eternal. And eternal life is what we're talking about, living eternally. Now, that in itself, he says, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold on her. What happened for those in the Garden of Eden that ate of the tree of life? They lived forever. That's why there was a guard put up where they could, where Adam and Eve could not eat of it. Do we need the tree of life? We have Christ. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that's eternal life to us. And it says, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wow. There's a satisfaction, there's an inner peace and joy that only Christ can give and only He can bless us with. He came that we might have, that's found in John 10 and verse 10, by the way. Then in verses 19 and 20, it says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding He hath established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. In one respect, we see that this kind of is separated from the rest of this passage. But it's an example of the greatness of wisdom. It's an example of the greatness of the wisdom of God. Did you know that this world with in the creation of the universe and this world and all that He's done in creation itself and how detailed that is? You know, if you studied biology or physics, you know how detailed creation really is. He just didn't throw this thing together. It works together perfectly. It fits perfectly. And so it's an example. He says this same wisdom is what we can. Now, I'm not talking about that we're going to go out and create something. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the detail and the greatness of having the wisdom of God. It's precious, isn't it? It's a precious thing. It says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up. Talking about the time of the flood and the clouds drop down the dew. All that by the decree of God and the greatness of His creation. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verses 27 through 29, listen to this. It says, when He prepared the heavens, this is talking about wisdom being present, of course. And again, you can say this was the Lord Jesus Christ. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth. Wisdom. It's something that is very precious and very valuable, and it's far more valuable than anything this world has to offer. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love for us today and Your goodness. Thank You for this passage. And Lord, help us to keep these things in perspective. Help us to live in light of eternity. Lord, we know there's so many distractions in this life, things that would draw us away, turn our attention away from that which is eternal, that which is true, that which is precious. And Lord, help us to have the same values that You do. Help us to have the same convictions that You do. Help us to have the same perspective as You do. Lord, we pray that You would give us wisdom day by day and moment by moment. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.